Every believer has the capacity to live as Jesus lived. Live victoriously over sin, sickness, death, poverty, and every evil works of the enemy. You can transform not just your own life, but the lives of people around you. The more you expose yourself to the words of God, the more you see it flow through you. In this message, Pastor Philip teaches on how you can respond to God's unconditional love for you. Live your life in the reality of His power and be all His Word says you can be.
My brain is far faster than my mouth. So I don't have to even go home to receive. People who have worked with me closely knows that Pastor doesn't think. I'll give you a response. No. It's there. But I began to cry as they lied against me because a night before the meeting, my pastor in Lagos had called me. He said, Philip, when Saul threw a javelin at David, he said David could have pinned Saul down once with one strike. He was the one that stoned Goliath. He would have pinned Saul to the wall. He said, but David ran away. He said, no matter what they say, keep short. When he said that to me that night, it was ringing in my head as they were speaking to me. The Lord now reminded me what he had told me many years ago, about 3 years, when he said to me, listen to me. He said, the madness of Saul is David's test. Are you following my point? That God had already left Saul. But God was now testing David with the madness of Saul. Should God leave David too? It is the way David responds to the madness of Saul that will determine whether God was going to leave David or not. So I was careful. I allowed no offense. No offense. I wept, I was pained, but I said nothing. I said nothing in my defense. I said nothing. He said, do you have anything to say? I said nothing. I don't have anything to say. Packed my bags and I left. And that day God says, son, you honored me today. I will honor you. You see that? So Satan could have poisoned my heart. You know, he could have steered me to say stuff that day that looking back now, I'll be regretting. I should not. And there were many things like this. I'm even tempted to say one or two things here now. There were many things I could have said, but I did not say. If the enemy is able to poison your heart that your leader is attacking you, it could make you get offended at him. The last one I'm going to talk about is that he's going to poison you by letting you think your master, your leader, your pastor, or the person God had put you in submit to is not handling the things that concern you like it should handle it. See, the things that concern me, things that concern our department, the pastor does not talk about it. Things that concern us, my leader does not talk about it. If it's my own, you reach my turn, they say money has finished. You reach my turn, they say this has finished. And so offenses can start. And that's what happened to Absalom. You see, the problem Absalom had was when Amnon raped his sister. Are you following my point? Are you following my point? The story of Amnon raping Tamar can be found in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 13. When Amnon raped Tamar, Absalom kept quiet. And you see, the enemy's breathing ground is in isolation. See, I will not see anything. You see when someone say, I will not see anything. The enemy takes over from there and begins to breathe on it. Amnon had raped Tamar. Tamar was Absalom's sister. Absalom hated Amnon for that and waited for 2 years hoping that David would do something about it. And David irresponsibly did nothing. After waiting, Bible says after 2 full years, Absalom now went to meet the daddy that I want to have a party with my brothers. Call everyone, you know, just in some form of family gathering. And he lured Amnon into that meeting and killed him there. And he didn't stop there. Came back and took over the government from his father. And he started one of the strongest, most terrible, you know, power tussle in the life of David. I believe that would have been one of the most miserable days of David's life. But the enemy dragged Absalom. He was so offended. He was so embittered. You see, it is the beginning of bitterness, you know, you don't know the ending. When people are bitter, they can go to any length. It doesn't end. It's like a bottomless pit. And that's why you must make up your mind what your responses will be. We can't stop people from offending us, but we can take responsibility for our responses to what they do. It is what that's in you that comes out of you. You see, when they caught Jesus, Jesus Christ was offended severally. He was blackmailed. He was betrayed. Jesus Christ was disappointed. Jesus Christ was spat upon. You know, they even told him, they said they should blindfold him and they should be slapping him and he should be prophesying. Who slapped him? See, we are who slapping now. Tell us. You know, they were doing that to him and they nailed him to the cross and they did that. And at the height of all that pain, you know what Jesus Christ said? He said, Father, forgive them. You see, his heart was too submissed into love that offense cannot come out. It is what is inside you that comes out of you. Nobody provoke you. Nobody seduce you. If it is, nobody can bring out of you what is not inside you. If a brother comes and says, Pastor, she was the one that seduced me. She was not like Kings now, for instance. Kings, have you eaten pandayam today? Have you eaten pandayam today? You have not eaten pandayam. So that means no matter what I do now, he can't vomit pandayam. Can he vomit pandayam? Why can't he vomit pandayam? Because pandayam is not inside him. So a brother that said he committed fornication because his sister seduced him, we should even thank that sister. That if not, we will not know that that thing is inside that brother. But that sister helped us. Took time out of our no time to show us that this kind of thing is inside this brother. Nobody provoked you. You can choose your responses. So that's why no matter how they pressed Jesus, the only thing they could get out of Jesus was love. Because that was all that was inside him. No hatred, no resentment, no bitterness, no offenses. He hung on that cross. And a robber, a thief, was even sneering at him. A thief was sneering at him. He said nothing in his own defense. So hung on that cross. If I were Jesus. Yeah, I will not forgive those people. I will say, okay, let me just do my father's will. At least I will raise from the dead, Abi. When I raise from the dead, that is when they will now know that what is after seven is more than eight. I'm telling you the truth. You know, when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he didn't appear to anyone that didn't even believe in him before. Everyone he appeared to were people who already believed in him. So he appeared to the disciples, he appeared to his disciples. It appeared, if me, raised from the dead, me. This is how I'm going to be over Jerusalem. I'll be hovering over Jerusalem like this. Throughout the first day, I will block the sun. Everybody will know that I've risen up. Then I will go first to Pilate. I'll say, you said you were washing your hand, Abby. Where's that your hand you said you were? When I'm done with him, straight to this high Sanhedrin, that Caiaphas, everybody that said crucify him, I'm telling you, I will shake their mouth to the back. Everyone that said crucify him, I will shake their mouth to the back. They'll be talking from the back. I'll say, at least I've risen from the dead. I've already finished the work. But do you know that till now,
He forgave them. When he saw Peter, he did not even refer to Peter's denial. He didn't see anything about it. Do you know he didn't see anything about it? Do you know that he did not even mention anything about Judas? Are you following my point? These are very strong points. These are resurrection points. It never said, it didn't talk about, because some people now, they offend you now, nobody rests. They offend you now, everybody in the church must know. Did you hear what Mr. Labaja done? Did you hear what Brother Susan said to me? Jesus never reported Judas to anybody. Till today, if not that people wrote down that narrative, Jesus will write it down. Jesus writing down. Doesn't keep a record of our wrongs. Look at the New Testament. That's why you don't see the records of people's wrongs in the New Testament. How Abraham went to sleep with Hagar. You don't find New Testament. What do they call him in New Testament? Father of faith. Samson, how he went and slept with Delilah. You don't find New Testament. Instead, yeah, his name appeared in the all what do you call that stuff? The hall of fame of faith. He says like Samson, like Barak, like Jephthah. They mention Samson there. Look at David, who has slept with people, killed Uriah. They did not say anything about those things. Because they don't go about counting people's wrongs and reporting people's mistakes. You can't find any such thing in Jesus. No matter how much you press Jesus, no matter how much you are offending, the only thing that will come out of Jesus is love. You can't choose how people react to you. We can decide how you respond to them. Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians 13. Help me. 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 1. What does it say? You need the mic, yes?
I'm an angel.
Yes?
I have not charity.
Yes?
I have become a sounding brass.
Yes?
My tinkling
cymbal.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
So that I can move mountains.
Yes.
And have not charity.
Yep.
I am nothing.
Yep.
And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor.
Yeah.
And though I give my body to be burned.
Yes.
And have not charity.
Yes.
It profited me nothing.
Yes.
Charity suffereth long.
Charity so from that charity suffers long. Let's go to NLT. Let's go to NLT. What does it say?
Love is patient.
Love is patient.
Mm-hmm. And kind.
Love is kind. Praise the Lord. You see, some people are even dating people that are not kind to them. They are not kind to them. They are not kind. Some people are wicked to their partner. Some people think it's discipline to be wicked. And so you have access. This person could have entered cab instead of a long. How much is someone that you should buy a car for? Say, no, that's how I'm wasting my money. Will I even have money? So people can afford some form of, marry somebody that doesn't want you to suffer. Marry someone that thinks that suffering is bad. Marry someone that does not think that having a washing machine at home is laziness. Marry someone that doesn't think that all those little luxury, is wrong. Which kind of suffer-head person is this? Bible says love is kind. I've seen people who talk unkindly. You can't even help your wife get a glass of water because you are the head of the home. I've had people say stuff. Say, how can you ask me? How can she see I should do that? How can she ever say? How can he? People are not kind. Love is kind. So even when you relate with other people, love is kind. Continue, what does it say next?
Love is not jealous or boastful or proud.
It's not jealous, because jealousy is the root of hatred. Is not boastful. Is not proud. Yes.
It does not demand its own way.
It doesn't insist that things must be done in its own way. So we are seated in a place, and you know that, okay, instead of us dragging this thing and dragging this thing and dragging this thing, why not let's just have your, just for the purpose of, you know, let's so that we can move forward. You know, because sometimes when you are in, even in relationships, you don't apologize because you're wrong. You apologize because you love the other person. You see? Sometimes you don't even apologize because you made a mistake. You apologize because the person is hurt. Even if you have a good reason for doing what you did. So you don't go about insisting. You don't say, you don't do that. You are concerned about how the other person feels. Let's have it your own way. It must not be your way all the time. In relationships, it mustn't be. Because what does it say next?
It does not rejoice about it. It is not irritable.
Yeah, so that it is not irritable. Give me like 6 translations. Give me God's Word. Give me Good News. Give me Amplified. It's not irritable. I want to zoom in on that. NLT, this is 1 Corinthians 13 verse 5. Give me this. Give me this in Amplified. What does Amplified say? It is not what?
It is not rude. It is not self-seeking.
Yes.
It is not provoked.
Yes.
Nor overly sensitive.
It is not. It is not what? It's not what? I can't say that. Love God does not insist on his own or his own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy. It is not touchy. You see, people are even priding over their being touchy. Say, I'm a very touchy person. I'm a very touchy. I'm very, still smart, not smart in the best me. If you see me angry, just pray that you don't see me angry. That's what Bible says, it's not touchy. This amplified classic or normal amplified? Yes, what does your one say? Huh?
It is not provoked.
It's not provoked.
Nor overly sensitive and easily angered.
So there are people who are easily angered. They are very irritable. Any small thing will annoy them. I've seen people like that. Easily angered. Bible says love is not. It is not a thing of pride or a thing of to be happy about that people think that you are thunder. They are calling you spark, calling you scorpion, calling you all those kind of tiger. You think it's a nickname? Spark. All those kind of names that shows someone that, and you're happy. You are going like this with your mommy. Hey, scorpion. You know, all those things. Because his love is not. Love is not. I don't pride over being temperamental. How do your children see you? So my children used to ask me, he said, does your dad play with you like this? I said, I don't come near my dad. You come near my dad? My daddy shows up, everybody paramount. Everybody, you run. Even your mother takes cover. Nobody can be seen around. You don't have a relationship with your father. So you grew up in the kind of house like that, and you must continue the family heritage. You are angry all the time. You are angry all the time. What is your problem? You are angry all the time. But it's not easily provoked. You are in a relationship. That's why relationship broke. You are always angry. This is not, it's not that serious. Small thing. You have raised your voice. You have sent a huge text message. You have shown everything. The guy has not even replied. You did not reply. You send another. Now you are not calling the guy. Cannot pick. He's very afraid, because if you did not even talk to him, you have sent this one. If he now picks, what will you say? So his friends call him. Omo, you have to break up with that girl if you want to live long. Always angry. Why are you always angry? People are laughing, you cannot laugh. Even now, you still cannot laugh. You are angry that I'm saying it. What's the problem with you? A merry heart. Your kidney is at risk. It's not easily angered. The Bible says it doesn't seek its own way, yes?
It does not take into account a wrong endured.
It doesn't take. Like someone says, it pays no attention to suffer. It takes no account of evil.
So there are people that they, if you offend them, the dates, the time. You see, there are people who are saying, they themselves are people. But they are quickly helping me say that, there are people. You are the big people. There are people here, they are doing it. In this church, there are people here, they are doing that time. Your partner is suffering. Small that they offend, you will remind them. So when they now do another one like this, you bring back book of records and you begin to relate. And in your mind, you think that is intelligence. You are even proud that hey, if somebody offend me, I don't forgive. I don't forgive people. If you offend me, I don't forgive people. It's better you don't offend me. If you forgive me, I don't forgive people. And you're acting, you feel cool. You think it's the fruit of the Spirit. I'll say, skip no record. Pays no attention. Can you give us good news? Good news translation, GNT. Dumo, do you have it? What does it say?
Love is not ill-mannered or selfish or irritable. Yes. Love does not keep a record of wrong.
Okay, that's what that same thing good news said. We've read NLT, Abby. We've read good news. Can we have contemporary English version? CEV. What does CEV say?
It doesn't keep a record of wrongs that others do.
That's CEV. GNT, love does. No, this is good news. The one you are reading.
It doesn't keep a record of wrongs that others do.
It doesn't keep a record of wrongs. The provoking part. What does it say about the provoking part? Verse 5. What does it say about being provoked?
That's verse 5, sir.
Love is
patient and kind, never jealous, both proud or rude. Love isn't selfish or quick-tempered.
Yes.
It doesn't keep a record.
Okay, so let's now have message translation. What does message say? What does message say? You have message?
Yes, sir.
What does it say? It says it doesn't force itself on others. Isn't always me first. See that? Isn't always me first? Me first. Gives other people a chance. Bible says, put others before yourself. See that scriptures. As I'm saying this now, some people have resolved that they're not going to do it. Go get work. Go get work. Go work, Taya. As I'm showing you scriptures still, you are sick. You cannot humble yourself before the word of God. I say, is this the word of God is saying? I must submit. You cannot. You are still saying that I will not forgive that person. The Lord is even reminding you of the person now. You are still saying, never, I rather die. What does the message say? What does it say next?
Doesn't fly off the handle.
Fly off the handle. Fly off. Flare up. Flare up in bank. Flare up, filling station. There are people who their girlfriends broke their TV. Flare up. Flare up. Break the windscreen. Just flare up. Have you seen husband and wife fighting sometimes? Flare up. Say very unkind words to each other. Flare up in front of their children. God. Terrible. My children have never seen me raise my voice at my wife. I deliberately say, I will never raise my voice at my wife. I will never raise my hands at my wife. Never. To flare up like lion. They call you a Kongo, no, you are happy. Yes. Atagwewe, nobody can cheat me. I don't take. It says, don't you fly off the handle. It doesn't keep score. It keeps score. I must do my own back. First to do, no pay. See, God is even telling you, vengeance is mine. He says, it's my own too.
I must revenge. There are people like that, if they don't do their own back, they cannot sleep. It will look as if there's a part of their life that has been taken away until they do their own back. Ah! And you're a Christian. It's terrible. It's terrible. Love doesn't keep its call. Remember I said it. In Psalm 109 verse 165, it said, great is the peace of those that love the Lord. He said what? They will not be offended. Keeps scores. Keeps scores in church. Keeps scores in church. If you can get this right, I'm telling you, even the church of God will grow. There are people right now who are offended. I'm telling you. Their sisters who are offended. What's that? Great is my peace. I'm not offended. There are people who are offended because a brother chopped them and came out. Very offended. Listen to me. You see, when I'm giving you example and illustration, I'm very deliberate. I'm a very intentional preacher. Say, that guy chopped me and claim out. Say, pastor, that brother, I will naked. I will naked to serve. Move on. Don't keep scores. Offenses will come, but you can determine how your response is. So I said, number one, it could be you. In saying it could be you, that means you may be easily irritable. You are hypersensitive. You are seeing problem in everything. Everybody is offending you. It could be you. And that's the problem. If everybody's offending you, if everybody's always offending you, you have a problem. If everybody's always offending you, that means you are the one that is mad. You are the one that has a problem. Because everybody cannot just discuss around the world. That anywhere, you know, in my office, Femi, I used to go to Femi Falana's office to do some law work when I was in law actively. And those days were my funniest day in my law practice. People are mad though. Very mad. Somebody can just come and say, yes, he wants to sue the people on the street. So Pastor Femi will say, what happened? He said that people are following him. That everywhere is going, people are following him. Say, how do you know? He said, if he now hides somewhere, you'll see them passing. They have been following him since. There was one that said that people were prying into our privacy. That everywhere there, people are looking at our privacy. So Bryce Staff and Father said, but I can't see your privacy. He said that she's shocked. That because she wants to sue the world. You know, so Bryce Staff and Father said, you know what? What you're going to do is that you have to first sue your neighbors. So that would send a strong warning to the rest of them. People are mad. So if you are always having a problem with everybody, you are mad. You're mad. That's what I'm saying. That's my point. That's where I'm going. If only you, everyone is stepping on your toes. Why, how is your toe big like that? How do you put your toe everywhere? Everywhere they're standing on your nerve. You spread your nerve on the express road. Everywhere your nerve is everywhere. You are too touchy. Not too touchy. Your money is too much. Your money is too much. Cool down. The world is not about you. You're not the center of the universe. All of us are not about you. Your children are not even about you. If you're easily irritable, number two, if you're the one that offended, I said, you should go reconcile. I said the Lord last week, please go find out. Number two, I said it could be the other person. And I said if it's the other person, be self-assured enough to be able to say, it is the other person. Are you following my point? There are people whose problem is that they are so, you know, self-insufficient that they can't even admit that the other person is wrong. They always take wrong for everything, even when they are not wrong. And I said that those kind of people are going to end up as victims of abuse in relationships. If people are going to run you over. If they know that you are very, you know, you take anything, you are not going to be able to talk, they're going to run you over. So there must be some form of balance to this. You get the point? So the fact that you accept for wrong doesn't mean that you take responsibility for what is not your responsibility. You should be able to tell people that, no, I didn't do that thing. You know, in your relationships, in your interaction with people, people say, no, I didn't do that. It was that guy that caused that to happen. You know, it's that guy that did that. And I said to solve that problem, don't go about telling people if you have not first spoken to the person. And I emphasized that a lot last week. If you have not told the person, then don't tell anybody. Now, some people were not comfortable with that. They say, the person can be this one. I said, then don't tell anybody, then swallow it. If you know that, I'm not confrontational. I don't like confrontation. Then don't tell anybody. Because there are people that are not confrontational, actually. I don't think it's normal to be confrontational. People like us who are very confrontational, it's not normal. We are not normal. Because why would you be wanting to face people to confront them? It's not normal. It's not a normal thing. So, but if you are like that, you know, you don't like confrontation, then if it's not big enough for you to have to confront the person, then it's not big enough for you to be hurt over it. Then let it go. It's just tough. It's just tough. Let it go. So if you know that you cannot tell the person, you don't want to talk to the person, you don't want to even start the old wahala, you know, because you can go, the person will raise up and that's I beg. Just let it slide. You know, don't tell anybody. Be very careful about people who come and tell you I've seen people that will just complain. People say, many people are saying this, many people are saying that. I'm a pastor. People come to my office. Pastor, many people, I say, who are the people? Give me names. Say, many people. No. Give me names. In the long run, they are the only person. It's only them. But they want to manipulate you by making you make decisions that will favor what they want by saying many people. Be very careful. Be very careful around people that sit around to incite, you know, bitterness. I remember in my former church, we were praying one day. You know, and my pastor has just celebrated his 40th birthday. So his band, his church, they put his billboard, you know, his canvas, those prints, those big prints, happy 40th birthday. You know, they hung it everywhere in the church. It was everywhere in the church, you know, and it was all there. And so we came for ministers' prayer meeting, and as we're praying, one of the ministers said, you see, be careful when people want to spiritualize. You know, someone wants to do a proko now, he comes to spirituality. Say, have you heard? Let's be praying. Person wants to gossip. Wants to go say, let's be praying for Brother James. I think we should pray for him. You know, say, what happened? He said, are you aware of Brother James? So he started like that. He said, look, our pastor's pictures everywhere in the church. Is this the church of Pastor so and so or the church of Jesus? I said, shut up. Shut up now. In the midst of everyone. You see, I'm very snappy like that. When I did that, I said, stop that. That's not why we're here. Next prayer point, please. Everybody was finished. But if somebody could have picked that up and said, let's pray. There's carnality stepping in. Worldliness is coming. You know, people can just begin to drag it and expand it. And before you know it, we even lose the purpose that we came for that meeting. So don't allow people to find comfortable to be gossipy around you. So people come to your house, they want to gossip. Don't give them room. Don't allow people to gossip about brothers, gossip about people. Don't allow it. Don't allow gossip. Somebody comes and meets you, Brother Miss Linus, and begins to gossip and talk about somebody, and you know you want to deal with the person. Me, I just grab the person's hands and say, let's begin to pray for him. And I will not pray less than 2 hours. When I'm done praying with you like that, and as I'm praying, I'll be shaking your body. Fire! That's the last day. That's the last day. If you hear anything about anybody, that's the last day, because we are going to start another round of prayer. Don't allow people to be comfortable around you coming to be gossiping. Don't allow it. Don't inherit other people's enemies. It's foolish. Don't inherit people's enemies. Don't inherit people's enemies. You don't need it. You don't know why people, you don't know what went wrong. You don't know what happened. You don't know what happened. You don't know what happened. Don't say, hey, I'm loyal. Loyalty. I know you're loyal to your friend, but be careful. You are a human being. You don't know where you will need people's relationships. Everything that God will do in your life, will do through relationships. Don't mess up relationship on the account of loyalty. That you don't know what happened. Don't do that. Number 3, It could be both of you. It could be both of you have caused the strain in the relationship. Number one, it could be you. Number two, it could be the other person. Number three, it could be both of you. And the same strategy is what's applicable here. If it's both of you, like we read in scriptures, Matthew chapter 18, where we read verse 15. He says, go to the person alone. Help me again. Let's read that again. Do more. Matthew chapter 18. Yes, yes.
If thy brother shall trespass against thee,
yes.
Go and tell him his fault.
Yes.
Between thee and him alone.
Between thee and him. So it's the same strategy. If it's both of you. If it's both of you. Some of us are always waiting for the other person to make it right. So if he doesn't apologize to me first, I won't apologize to my own. You see, the person that apologizes first is the most spiritual. As I say, well, that's true. The person that apologizes first is the most matured. The person that, are you listening to me? Yeah. Some of us are waiting. If he doesn't come and tell me sorry, I will not. That's wrong. That's not scriptural. That's not spiritual. The person that apologizes first is the most matured. Is the most spiritual. A lot of you will be laughing. Yes, I say it again. The person that apologizes first is the most spiritual. You know, as the husband, I'm the head of my house. And the way to show headship is to give direction. So if there's a difficulty, maybe there's some strain. I say, okay, yes, we have to stop this now. All right, sweetheart, I'm sorry. Yeah, so my wife starts, what are you sorry for? I'm sorry for what I did. Because I cannot allow Satan to enter our house. Yes, so that's how to be head. Sometimes the way you are head is that you carry the headache. Eh? The way to be head is that you carry the headache for the body. So because if you don't allow, Satan will creep in. So I apologize. Can you say, I say, I apologize, I'm sorry. Then if I say, she's still not say, okay, me too, I'm sorry. Then we hug, then the matter is over. So don't wait for the other person. Take the initiative for reconciliation. If it's both of you. Number four, this one will shock you. It could be God. It could be God. That's the last one. I'll talk about last one so I can close tonight. It could be God that is causing the strain in that relationship. Yes. God used to cause strain in relationship. He did. He did to Israel. He did to Jonah and his friends in the boat. Caused a storm in that boat. If this is not in the direction of where God wants things to go, it can cause a storm in it. If this relationship is not what God wants, this relationship between Jonah and these Nineveh guys is not God's design. It could cause a storm. If Israel was staying too long in Egypt, it could cause a strain there. You see that? It could cause a strain so that something changes. So God does indeed cause strains in relationship. Don't try to heal what God is trying to kill. Don't try to heal what God is trying to kill. There are some of you, there's just a strain in the relationship between you and your boss right now. And you know that God is saying, it's time to leave. But you want to make things work. You are forcing things to not work. And the more you try, the more you are more implicated. When you say, I'm sorry, is that what to say you're sorry? They give you query. Find attached. Query. Sorry not said properly. Anything you said turns the other way. Are you following my point? Sometimes God does that. Don't hang on and say, hey, very good. This is my, I'm going to divorce my wife. I know that God has caused a strain. You are not the one I'm talking about. You are not the one I'm talking about. Say, hey, I've been saying it. This strain between me and my wife is God. God doesn't cause strains between a couple. What the Lord has joined together, even Him doesn't put us on. Foolishness causes strains among couples. Foolishness is the core cause of divorce, not Satan. Satan didn't even know some point in a relationship. He was yelling for the first time. After the divorce, Satan said, were they in a relationship? Say, we did not know. He said, but they have destroyed. Okay, let's go. Let's go to the next relationship. Satan did not hear. So you think Satan knows about it? No, Satan might not even know about the relationship. The problem with most relationships is foolishness. We'll be dealing with all those foolishness by next month in Jesus' name. All right? So it could be God. It could be God. And there are several reasons why God could do that. If God notices that this thing is not working, or this thing would work against his plan for your life, it is because of his love for you that he causes that strain to stop it. Some of you are wondering, so I did not do anything. I did not say anything. He just said, yes. He just broke up like that. Yes. He just broke up like that. I didn't say anything. And people that break, people don't break up suddenly. People broke up with you long before they tell you. Nobody broke. Say, ah, you step on me. It's over. It's a lie. It's been long. You're just looking for any small thing that would trigger it. Are you following my point? So, when God is notices that what you're doing or where you are is against his will, it causes a strain. How will I know if this is God? So that's the next question. How will I know if this is God who is causing this strain? You see, you are a man of the spirit. You will know that this thing, there's some form of pulling away in your spirit to let go and let God. Yes. Some of us, if not for that, you'd have got into a relationship with the wrong people. Maybe you'd have been married to the wrong person right now. Maybe you have gone on your life with the wrong person. Maybe you'd have stayed back at the place of, can you imagine? Israel was 70 people with Jacob. 70 people came to Goshen. They gave them a land for 70 people, MSC. And they grew to 3 million. They grew to a land that was like a GRA before, became a ghetto. When God looked down from heaven, he said, no. This is not what I promised Abraham. I said I will give him a land. So the Bible says he caused there to arise a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph and began to punish them. Because some people, that's how they will adjust. They will adjust. This is not working. Come out. Get out. They will adjust. This will work. We'll make it work until their life is completely destroyed. Stop adjusting. Move out. Your landlord suddenly begins to misbehave to you. God wants you out of the house. You check yourself first. Is it me? Did I do anything? Did I say anything? You didn't do anything. You are holistic. You are very, very sincere with yourself. You checked him. Did I do it? You didn't do anything. This man is just ranting. God is saying, leave. Or your lecturer. Or someone wants to commit sin with you. You now want to make it work. Someone wants to commit sin with you. You know this is a sin. You are going out with a boyfriend that wants to commit sin with you. Or a girlfriend that wants to commit sin with you. And you know this is a sin. You now want to make it work. Against God's plan. Against God's will. I've had stories. As a pastor, my table is full of stories like that. So the first question is, have you slept with him? Pastor. Because you people are doing well. You were doing fine. Until you now began to talk about marriage. It's also you now brought this up about where will you come and see your parents. A particular brother even went on retreat. Someone has been sleeping with a sister. Which retreat are you doing? Retreat unto who? You were sleeping with this girl all these days. The day she now say, so how about sign? You now say, you want to pray more. Eh? You want to hear from God. He now went to fast. Which useless fast is that? Someone that is committing fornication is fast. What are you fasting about? I now came back and said, he's not sure, actually. He has a pool, this one, that one, that one. And so the lady was crying and she messaged me. And that's the first question. Have you slept with him? Say, you have been slept. I said, that's it. I said, move on. Oh, the Lord. Wipe your tears, you know, pick your lessons and move on. It's gone. So if you put your foot on the ground, I'm not going to do what is wrong, and this sister or that brother is not going to accept, and then there's strain in your relationship because of that, that's God. You don't need to hear from God. God is already talking very loud. He's talking in hostility. Hostility. Hostile voices. Leave. Move. Telling you the truth. Some of us have stayed back in too many terrible places. There are people in this place, you know, I'm saying from experience, I'm talking also from the world of knowledge. Where you are, move away from there. This insult you are facing is too much. They use your face to rub sheets. You take every nonsense. And God has used everything he can to call your attention. This is not the place. By the time by the time they start showing Jacob something in the house of Laban, then he remembered the God of Bethel. Are you following my point? Then God appeared and said, look, Jacob, I am the God that appeared to you in Bethel. Go back to Bethel. You stayed here too long. 20 years to get wife. The wife that your own mother was gotten for one night. Appa, you stayed too long. I'm talking from what some of us have stayed. And so this strain you are facing right now, don't try to make it work. It will not work. It will not work. Move on from it. Don't try to heal what God wants to kiss. So I deliberately just wrapped it up like that because I wanted to finish this so I can go to something else tomorrow. I have 3 minutes left. I want us to finish this meeting by 8:10. 8:10. So I'll take two questions. Only two questions. Only two questions. So Israel has a question. Kemi has a question. You have a question? Okay, so I have three questions. You have a question? I have four questions. Four questions. Do you have a question? So let's start with Israel quickly. I have 5 minutes to do this. I'm stopping this meeting by 8:10. All right? Okay? Yeah. Is it working? What's my own mic?
Okay, so my question goes thus. A situation where a particular individual keeps hurting or offending you, and the individual keeps apologizing and you keep forgiving. At the point you forgive but do not want an association with this person, have you done wrong or you only received sense?
Is that your question? You've received sense. So the Bible commands us to forgive. Let me be careful with that because I posted a video on TikTok, and you know, there are many foolish people all over the world. Honestly, I'm impressed by the amount of foolishness. That's the only language I can use because I just wonder that, foolishness abound in the land. A particular guy came and commented on my video and said, "You are wrong." He says, "You are wrong." He commented on my own video. He said, "You are wrong." He said, "It's just that because he doesn't have enough space. That's why he cannot comment on why I'm wrong." So I said, no, don't be lazy. Do a video. This is my own video. You go and do your own video. No room for laziness in destiny. How can you come and comment on my video that there's no space? No. Create your own space for your own life and your destiny. Address the issues you want to talk about and address it properly. Don't be lazy. You won't make anything out of life the way you're controlled like this. That's foolishness. So people came and tackled me and all that. So I think I need to put a balance to it. You see, God commands us to forgive. And God knows whether you're forgiving or not. Because some people are hiding behind, I've forgiven him, I just don't trust him. But they have not forgiven the person. What does it mean to forgive someone? You let go of the hurt. You stop wishing the person evil. Stop wishing your ex evil. Stop wishing that they die. Stop waiting to hear bad news about them. Stop checking them. Hopefully that something as terrible has happened to them. Stop doing that. To forgive someone is to wish the person well. You are praying in your heart, Father. You see, sometimes because it's difficult to forgive, you say, Father, help me forgive this person. It's difficult. I'm hurt. I'm badly hurt. I'm really hurt. But I know that you are the balm of Gilead and you can help me. And then you pray for the person. And then you let the person go. You see that? So you don't put yourself back in a place of vulnerability with the person. You don't put the person in a place where the person can hurt you like that because it takes expectation to be disappointed. If there are no expectations, you cannot be disappointed. We are only let down by people that we lean on. You see, if you don't lean on me, I can't let you down. You see that? So if I don't put you in a place where you can hurt me like that anymore, then you have seen by that. But I must ensure that in my heart, I genuinely have forgiven you. And I'm not keeping records about it. If I see you, I wish you well. I can't even do that. I can even pray for you. I can pray for, I can say, okay, for the next 1 month, I'm going to pray for this person every day. Let me give you an example. Can I take it, said there was a pastor that hurt him so bad, hurt him terribly, hurt him so bad. But the pastor had come to preach in their church. It's a Baptist church, so you don't control who comes to preach. So a guy came to preach, and Satan said, yes, this is a very good opportunity to make this person suffer greatly. Ensure that you don't give him a dime as honorarium. Let him preach his heart out. He will not say, please, thank you, Jesus. We are very happy for your ministration. The Lord bless you. And let him go. Satan, can I take yourself, Satan, for saying that, I'm going to double what we gave to him. So he said, he called the church. Church, this pastor has blessed us so much, and we want to give him double. So he gave him double. And you know, they usually would teach, I think, like 3 or 4 days back to back. He said he gave him double every day what he would have given to a normal. He said the guy was broken. That was broken. Because the guy knew I'd hurt this guy. It was broken. You get my point? So what Kenneth Hagin was even doing was to deal, he was trying to even deal with his own heart. So that's real forgiveness. So, but it didn't mean that he had put that guy in a place where the guy can hurt him again. But he wanted to be sure and want God to see that he had genuinely forgiven that person in his heart. All right? Did that answer your question? Correct. What asked the question next? All right.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Good evening, sir. My question is, as a believer, how then do you, with what you have said this night, how then do you deal with people who try to intimidate you? Because as you were speaking, I was just talking to my friend. A scenario happened at work today, and somebody came at me. I'm very small in size.
Yes, I can tell. We all know.
He came at me, and
he's a guy.
He's actually older than me.
Okay.
But we are of the same grade in the office, and I didn't.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
Yes, and I didn't like how he came at me, and I responded. So how do you put your foot down without, I don't know, being rude or disrespectful? Like, is there a space? Is there a space for you to express your anger and your hurt, you know, without holding grudges?
Yeah. So what you are, if I would have loved if you can give me an instant of what he did exactly.
Okay. So there's something that he's supposed to be doing for his grade in his office. And I went to give it to him that this is your work. Take it. And he said that he cannot take it. I said, it's your work. Collect it. So I ended up giving it to him. And he came back and told me that I should not bring it to him next time. I should take it. And I said, I'm not going to collect it. It's not my job. It is your job. Why are you coming at me? I wanted to report to my boss initially. But I said no. Only for me to go back. And I saw that he had gone to report me to his own boss, a senior person who called me and was reprimanding me. So I was very upset. I haven't confronted him. I just told my boss that this is what happened, and I left the office. Okay. So how do I put my, for this not to repeat itself again?
Yeah, so you make a formal complaint to your boss about this. You make a formal complaint, make it official, you know, and if you can even get people who are witnesses to what happened, let them see it. Insist that this matter be dealt with and let them do it, because people like that, they are bullies. People are bullies from secondary school. They continue their bullying lifestyle till they enter university. They bully their wife, bully their colleagues, bully people on the road, you know. So the fact that you are a Christian, you know, doesn't mean that you are now vulnerable to be bullied everywhere. Jesus is the lamb, but Jesus is the lion. Are you following my point? It's a balance. So you don't hate him, you are not resentful, you are not rude. You are not a fighter. You don't fight, but this is work. This is a work environment. Are you following my point, guys? It's a work environment, and you don't want someone destroying your own work. And you are just beginning your life, and you are not the reason for his problem. You are not the one that allowed him to be at the same level as you at his age. So he should not. Yes, he should not put that out on you. You are not the cause. So make sure that the people who are supposed to know about it. Know about, do a formal complaint about it, and if they have to call both of you, they call both of you. And if they have to, if they to this church, that both of you don't have to interact on that work level anymore, they should do it. But you're not going to back down, you know, because of intimidation. You shouldn't do that. You understand? So get your boss, get your superiors involved, and let them sort that out. Okay, all right.
Hallelujah.
All right.
I want to ask, how do you take your lot in a push in, like in a path where you work with people? So I want to give an instance of what I do. There are lots of, for instance, there are lots of musicians. I work with so many people, like, let me say, this fair, that we are gospel fair. And you begin to see a case where you see a particular musician, for instance, and it has been a battle online, should musician produce, should musician, where you see a musician who probably work with somebody, work so much, you see them all around together, and then it, for instance, another instance where I go for a musician with somebody, for instance, and I'm aware, should in case, or I know for a fact that this guy could have been given like 10 million, or for a lesser price, let's say 2 million. And then I get back, my team and everybody, and I begin to take like stipends from what I know that this thing, this is how it is. And then over time, you see that these particular people would have, you see that the musicians, or where this is, this complaint is so much more for I and so many musicians. I've been thinking about it. So you see that after a while, the leader of the team particularly begins to blossom abundantly. Then the whole team shrinks down. And then it makes other people look, for me, when I look ahead of people who have gone ahead like musicians, I begin to say, no, probably I should stop this music. Because, see this guy's
so
life.
What's now the question?
They are, okay, how do we begin to take our lots in a case where people begin to offend you? And even, for instance, you've even probably a song. You gave out a song and this song is going far. And there is something coming into that from so that what's, person's
what,
pocket.
What's your agreement with the person at the reception of what?
Most times, it's as though you know that I've given you something. And then you are making money off it, for instance.
And so you see the deception, and that's the problem. Praise the Lord. That's the problem about some of the Christian issues. Christians, you know, we used to say, let's just see how it goes, and let's just help each other. It's this kind of thing that causes some of this problem. And when we say, do these things clear, be clear about it. People are hiding from this thing. They don't want to soil the relationship. Soil the relationship now. So that everything will be clear. I know what I'm talking about. It's, I practice law. I know how these things happen. I know how people suffer from these things. So if there are issues that you have discussed, look, anybody that is charging for what he's doing is business. It's business. It's business. Anybody that is charging, if the person should charge, it's business. If the person did not charge, then we could say this could be strictly ministry. But if I customer, the person charges. Ah, the person came to minister about his business because the person charged. Now, I'm not against the person that charged. Are you following my point? So they were not going to pick this now and quote me wrong. I'm not against the person that charged. That's how the person does. He wants to do his own thing. And me, this Minister Linus is my very good friend. Zanana has never charged me in this church before. I have friends who have never charged, who come here to me and say, who have never charged me before. They're my friends. You know, and I do not take that for granted. I don't now say because they did not charge me, I will now abuse that. That would be ungodly. That would be very ungodly. So if somebody's already behaving like an ungodly, in an ungodly manner, you collected 10 million and you gave your gateways 5,000. That's very ungodly. So now, you will now make it clear. Make it clear. Make it clear. Because this relationship you want to preserve will still spoil. It will spoil. And when it spoils, it will destroy. It will be like Humpty Dumpty that cannot be put back together again. So it's better that the lines are very clear. This is what we expect. This is what we want to see. And then everybody's happy. You understand? So you are not hurt. You are not being offended. You are not seeing him progressing and wishing him death. And your heart is, you know, poisoned because of that. There's no need for that. When all these things are very clear, the law of Christian creatives are suffering. They have entered contracts with management and companies that are siphoning and, you know, make drying them. And I hear all these kind of things. I just keep quiet, you know, because religion is a burden. People are hiding under religion to do wickedness. Wicked people fool religion. Wicked people, because it's wickedness. It's wickedness. My people that work with me, I have about 3 staff working with me. Esther stopped. So when this fuel increase happened, the first thing I do was to remove a day. Don't come every day. Are you following my point? Remove a day, don't come every day. Then I now said, how much extra are you incurring on transport now? And they gave me the extra they're incurring, and I said they should be paying them that extra on transport. It's simple. I cannot pretend as if I did not know
that transport has increased. And expect them that God should provide for them. And then they're going to be believing God. That's wickedness. Me and Satan, we are just together. You understand? So some people are really wicked. And so that, because if you are hurt, it's going to affect your growth. It, you know, I mentioned about people being offended. You will stop growing and you will stop going. So it's important for you to clear from the inception. Let it be clear. If you guys are doing ministry, strictly ministry, you guys don't charge, you guys don't do anything, and you guys get whatever comes, this is the percentage that you guys get. You know, everybody understands, and then business goes beautifully, and there's no fights, and there's no struggle, and the kingdom of God is okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask concerning what you had mentioned when you said God can introduce hostility if he wants you to leave a certain situation.
Yes.
And I'm not very clear on it because I feel like God cannot perpetuate evil.
It's not evil. Hostility is not evil.
Okay.
I know. You're just saying evil, I have to look at it. Hostility is not evil.
If you look at the example, you say God hardened Pharaoh's heart, for instance.
Yes.
And then God made your boss to be okay. Maybe he did not perpetrate evil, but he fostered it.
Yeah. So it's not evil. What God did, and you see, when you read the New Old Testament, I don't want this will take me away from the sermon. If you read the what's my time? Time has gone. If you read the Old Testament, you know, doesn't exactly explain how Scripture was written, and it can be misleading. When Bible says God hardened the heart of Pharaoh, that it did not mean that God now took his heart like this and put it to rock. You know, it doesn't literally mean that. And there are many things you read in the Old Testament that doesn't literally mean that. If they say evil spirit came from God to Saul, it didn't literally mean that. There are many instances, but I can't deal with that because of my time. But what God does is that if God says that this relationship is not going in line with what he designed for you, he can create an environment that wakes you up to the reality that this is no longer my place. That's what happened between Laban and Jacob. Happened between Israel and Pharaoh. Happened in the boat with Jonah. There was a storm that disrupted the journey. Bible says God sent a fish and sent a storm. You understand? So God can do that. It's now you to be discerning as a believer to know if this is God, and God can lead. God will let you know. You'll find a pull in your heart. I think this is God. God is trying to draw me. It happened to us in Wuse to Nabi. In Wuse to, when we started facing other hostility, I said, this is God. I said, this is God. We have to leave. And we left. And since we left, another church is there now, and they're having fun. So it's us. We are the problem. We are the Jonah in that boat. And they have to shake us away. Another church is there now. I speak with the pastor, he's my friend, and they're having a lot of fun. In fact, they are even more lenient on that church than they were on us. They gave them an office there that they did not give us. You understand what I'm saying? So we were the issue. We were the one that God wanted to take out. Imagine, we would have preferred to stay back in Wuse. Look at where we are. Glamorous. Beautiful. And we're still going to live here too. You understand? There is no permanent place. You see, you live ready to live. All right? So what was the last? Is this last question? Please let it be the last question.
Good evening, sir. So how do you...
I would answer the question, all the online questions next to guess.
How do you deal with somebody who is unavoidably close, like family, and endlessly hurt, like you are forgiving the one in the past and there is still going to be one in the future?
You know that the future is coming.
The person is not changed.
Is it your daddy? Is it your father? Because you have to. Is he your father?
Yes.
Yeah, he's your father. All right, so it's a temporary situation.
So, how is it a temporary situation?
It's a temporary situation. I don't want to be there forever.
You don't even have to live with the person you offended.
The proximity will be reduced if you leave. Are you with him now?
Okay, while he offends others, like, you know, the people that are living with him, he's offending them, and you're hearing about it, and you're offended because you know that.
There's a limit to how the offense is now your own business. He's your father. The madness of Saul is David's test. The madness, don't ever, ever raise your voice at your parents. Don't ever in your life disrespect your parents on the account of their misbehavior. Don't ever. I know one guy that went to go and tear his father's shirt. Don't ever talk to your parents anyhow. Your father is your father. You honor them. It's a temporary situation. Are you following my point? I know it's painful. I know you wish he was some form of Cosby kind of daddy. No, but some parents are just there to make your life unbearable. They are like a pain in your neck. And they might not change. Eh? Of course, you leave. You'll be there forever. You'll be there forever. You leave. If you can fend for yourself, you leave. You understand? And even when you leave now, the proximity and the extent to which they can do all that will be reduced drastically. It doesn't mean that they are going to stop. They can even still call your sister and say, can you see? See? Eh? See what she's doing? I'm going to deal with that girl. I will dishonor. They can still do all that. You know? So, but that is like I said about Saul and David. 17 years, where is your dad? And God too will be watching out. And the seeds that you sow now, be very careful, because you have children too. And some of our parents are actually victims of the kind of thing they are doing. They are behaving like that because of what they went through. Very dysfunctional parenting. Very dysfunctional. I can imagine how my father, I dare not parent my children like my father parenting. I'm not a car. Dysfunctional parent. My father can even beat you that you are passing by. Telling you. My father can just look and say, ah, what's happening? Yeah, everybody. God just beat us around. I'm telling you. We are like that too. And my father, you cannot ask him for anything. You cannot go and meet him. You know, you couldn't even talk to him as a dad. Some of you guys have amazing parents, and I'm very happy for you. We didn't have those kind of parents. I mean, I can't tell my dad about how I feel as a boy growing up. He can beat me. He can't even beat me that I felt like that. He can't even beat me that. Is that why I called him? He can. Is that my book? Is that why he sent me to school? You can't tell your father that you like a girl. I'm going to beat you. You know, so if it's your parents, you have to honor your parents. It's a very dicey situation. But please, I want to beg you, don't disrespect your parents. Don't disrespect your parents. I did not say don't disobey your parents. I did not say don't disobey your parents. I said don't disrespect, don't dishonor your parents. There's an age that you should be able to disobey. If your father insists now that you must marry a boy, that they brought the boy from the village, if I'm your father, you marry that boy. You say no. No, I'm not marrying him. I'm not marrying him. You understand? So you disobey him. But don't ever use wrong words towards your parents. Don't ever use words that they can now quote and say, you said that to me. And what are seeds? You know, you don't want to ever have this conversation with your children. I think we should stop. Your time has gone, all right? Let's stand on our feet and let's just thank God for this word and bless him.
Thank you for listening to this message. Meditate on these words and watch how it will transform your life. For inquiries, please call 0909-672-9827 or 0807-548-5997. You can reach us on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram at SL Church NG. You can reach us on our Facebook. That's Supernatural Life Church.